Thank you, Carla. And welcome everyone here. We are going to open our service with singing. Our gathering song is in the Sing the Journey, the Green Book, number 9. Come, now is the time to worship. Number 9, you can stand if you'd like. Initially, when Carla chose that song, among the others that we're going to be singing today, I thought to myself, now why would she choose that one when our text is from Mark 1? And it's not only Carla, when anybody chooses the songs, and I have given a text, then I always wonder, how were those connections made? It's always a surprise to me, but I wasn't going to interfere, and I had promised her I would not preempt the choices she made this time, but yet I wondered until this very moment when we were singing this song. And then I realized, one day every knee will bow and confess that you are Lord and God. And that's exactly what the text of Mark is all about. It's about recognizing and confessing that Jesus is Lord. So thank you, Carla, for that introduction to our service and our message and our theme today. As you might have deduced from what you've seen in the bulletin, the only voice that you'll really hear, well, no, one of the voices you'll hear today is mine. Hopefully you'll also hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. That is our prayer and our desire and our expectation. I will be lifting the load today, not because I didn't have volunteers. So don't feel sorry for me in any way. This is just how it played out for this Sunday. But if you would like to volunteer in the future, if you would like to practice by being worship leader, please let me know. Or if you would like to try your hand at speaking, at bringing a message, maybe you've read something in the scripture that has really touched your heart and you'd like to talk about it a little bit, please come forward and we will make space for you. It's not only the pastor with that title and the door that says pastor that is allowed to come and share what the Holy Spirit has brought to you. So keep that in mind, and hopefully someone will be stirred beyond what they even expected. You are welcome here, in case you hadn't heard that yet. I'm sure even as you came in the door and as Bart wrote your name down or you met other people in the foyer, they were happy to meet you here, as we are. And for those of you who are at home online, you are also welcome here. You are a part of us, even though we are extending. Go, go, gadget arms. Isn't that how it used to be? The cartoons? You are distant, and yet you are intimately connected with us. And we need to remind ourselves that you are also with us here to worship. And as a kind of extended welcome and opening to the service, I would like to remind myself and remind all of us that we are living in some very unique times, and they offer the best opportunity to us as Christians to be living out our faith. This is prime time for sharing of our faith. And I'm not saying, you know, get out on the street, get your tracts, and witness that way. I am suggesting that because the circumstances that are occurring in the world now are so anxiety-ridden and may cause death, like these are life and death issues that everyone is dealing with. And we look around and we don't know if the people that we meet and the air that we breathe is actually poisoned, and that in breathing it, it could kill us. That's really, you know, the bottom line. And we wonder about that. But we as believers needn't fear these things. And it's what we talk about every Sunday. We recognize that our spiritual faith goes beyond our physical realm. It is in the physical realm. It's here already, but it goes beyond that already. And when we rest on that, in the face of all of this anxiety, in the face of the chaos and the governments that seem to be in turmoil and the violence that is everywhere, in the face of that, when our faith is like that anchor, is the song going through your head? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Isn't that right? We sing it and it's wonderful and we feel it, but can we live it? These are the perfect times. And for those of us who like to say, oh, we're Mennonites, we witness without words, that's fine. Because now, when our soul and our very being is resting assured on the rock that is Christ, we don't have to be tossed about by all of the things that are occurring in the world. We see them, we know them, we pay attention to them. But our security goes beyond that. We cannot be moved. And that is our witness. And these are our times. May this be our testimony today and always. Please join with me in the call to worship, the official call to worship. I took it out of the hymnal, a worship book, number 664, but it's printed here. Watch, wait, the day of God is at hand. Stay awake. The reign of God is very near.
We are here, watching and waiting with hope.
May God bring justice to all people on this day. May God's reign come on earth as in heaven. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would rain down your grace on us, We are your people. We are your servants. Help us to be open to following you in these days, in these times, but first of all, in this sanctuary, where we have come to meet you. Meet us here. Open our ears and our eyes. Help us to know what it means in a new way for today to be receptive to all that you have to offer us. We invite you to change us today, that we will go forth new and renewed in your spirit into your world as your witness. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Our next song is Hymnal, a Worship Book, number 398. I love to tell the story, and there is no way I can suggest that we will sing anything but all three verses. I don't think that is possible, and I also believe we need to stand. Was very hearty singing, and partly, I think, for those of you who are not here, I don't know how far back the visual extends, if they can see all of the benches or just the front benches, but I would say we are pretty close to almost 30 people here. One more, we have space for one more. So this is a real blessing to see all of your, well, half of your faces again. And, you know, it's only after having been with some other people. You know, we had a funeral service on Thursday. And afterwards, when I go home, then I realize, just a second, that person wasn't wearing a mask. Because I remember having seen the entire face. It just feels so wonderful. And those days will come again. But for those of you who this alarmed, don't worry, it was not in the sanctuary. It was later when we went to the outside to the burial, then some people decided it was safe enough not to have their masks on. But while we were here, everybody was completely masked.
This week I heard of two of the people that I have grown up with in Gruntsville, Manitoba, that have died of COVID. The man got a little bit sick on one day, and a week later he was dead. We cannot be careful enough. I'm grateful for the precautions that we are taking, and we are grateful here in the southern part of the province that we don't have nearly the difficulty that the north has. We have children living up north, and there are 10 people in one house, and they said, if we get it, we can't even isolate. We have no place to go. So it's because they live in a more crowded situation there that it's so more you tell me the word, viral there. It's more... they are dying faster up north than they are dying here in the south, because we are the privileged people that can isolate and we can be careful. And it's because we are careful that it isn't as serious here as it is up north.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, you have already heard all of the things that we have spoken and attested to through our singing, our praying, and even our simple gathering together. We are confessing that you are Lord. We have come to worship you. We recognize that you are God. We confess it, but we pray that you would help us to live it, that it would be demonstrated in the lives that we live, in our attitudes, our actions, our speaking, our very being. And this comes only by your power. We invite the ongoing transformative power of your Spirit to be working within us, alerting us, pointing out things that need to be addressed, confessed, recognized. We're all so very different, and we face completely different challenges. And you know us individually, and you know us as your body. This knowledge is too wonderful for us, and in fact, it's a little bit scary. So a lot of the time, we run away from it. We get hints of it, but exposure is never really very comfortable. Give us courage, enough courage to sit at your feet, the way Mary did, to simply enjoy your presence, to get to know you intimately, closely, so that that trust in our relationship can grow, and you will have more space to have that communication, to have those conversations that need to be had. Our world is in turmoil, and we raise it all up to you, and especially, as I just mentioned, what is happening in Colombia. You know the history of what has been going on there, and the peace, the relative peace that they had been enjoying. We pray earnestly, especially, first of all of our brothers and sisters. The church is there, and they have faced a lot of violence and being displaced and even killed. We pray for them, give them courage to stand firm. to rely on you, to trust in you, but we also pray for those in authority. We pray for our governments, that they would rise up and speak against the violence, that they would also have influence on the government of Colombia. Give them courage, give them safety. We pray for safety, especially as we know about this COVID pandemic raging our land. We pray for all of those who have suffered with it, and the families who have lost loved ones. Every day we read the numbers, and we can't help but become somewhat weary and calloused. But we pray that you would continue to give us this heart of compassion that you have for those who have lost their lives, who have lost the struggle against this disease. And we pray that you would put a stop to it, that it would not continue to mutate, that it would not continue to grow and ravage the entire world. Have mercy on us. Thank you for the other things that we have prayed for. They seem small in comparison, but we still pray. We bring them to you because we know that you care. We pray for the other churches that are also praying for healing. We pray for Trailview, and we pray for Tiefengrund and their respective leaders. We pray for all churches, and ours especially. May growth come out of these very trying times. May renewal come out of these very trying times. May this not have been an exercise in futility that we have just managed to struggle through and get to the end of, but that something essential would have changed. That something from you would have come out of this time. This we pray more than anything else. Show us yourself. Give us life, we pray. And as we wait and expect your response, we simply pray the way you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Feels like there should be a song there, or something, some kind of a, I don't know, a shift in the dynamic, but we haven't chosen a song, and we are trying to limit the number of songs that we sing, not because we don't like to sing, but because it's a little bit more dangerous of an activity. However, I think now I had selected something from the Hymnal of Worship book. It's an affirming faith kind of statement, and I didn't know where to slot it in. This seems like a good time. Take your hymn books and turn to number 710. This is an affirming faith statement. And for those of you, I know I am one of those who, I don't like it when something is just thrown at me and then, oh, all of a sudden we're supposed to read this. I want to know what I'm reading before I start reading it. So if you feel a little hesitation, that's okay. Just listen. And look, if you don't feel ready to say these things yet, or if you want to say them afterwards, that's fine too. This is a kind of confession of faith, and yet it will be sort of geared towards the Mark passage that I'll be focusing on. I'll read the leader part. You can read the people part. We affirm that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Miriam, Hannah, and Mary, is our God.
We affirm that God has come to us in our likeness, the kingdom of the Lord, a servant in Jesus from Nazareth.
We believe that God, in Christ, suffered the pain and agony of the cross to provide for our salvation.
We believe that God demonstrated power over sin and death by raising Jesus from the dead and declaring that the risen Christ is the Lord.
God has given us new life and freedom in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, who is the guide and power of the community of believers. We believe that in the end, God's rule of peace and justice will be fully established, and that Jesus Christ will reign forever and ever. The scripture that I will read is Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. For those of you who don't have your Bible, you might want to get one from the back or else a piece of paper and a pen, because there's quite a number of scripture passages that I'll be referring to. I might read them and I might not, but you might want to write them down to look them up later. So the initial one is Mark 1, 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, they being Jesus and the disciples that he had just called from being fishermen. So they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed. And they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever heard or seen the bumper sticker that says someone's driving along and then the bumper sticker says, "God is my co-pilot"? Never seen that one? Well, that's an ancient one. But then I heard someone commenting on that bumper sticker, and they said, "If God is your co-pilot, you should switch seats." I'm like, oh, yeah. That's right, isn't it? Am I flying the plane? Am I driving the car? Or is God actually the one in charge? And this passage, and hopefully what I am focusing on today, has to do with authority, where authority lies, and our response to authority. Oh, I could go in so many directions, and I pray that I would be following the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and not, you know, that little voice inside that niggles at me. Oh, now I've got the opportunity to say a whole bunch of things that need to be said. No, I don't want to go there at all. But I am reminded, especially because Matt is sitting right here, about our Constitution. You know, we as a church have just invited the revisiting of our Constitution, and the very first thing that that whole committee noticed, or the thing that really drove them to make the changes that they made, was that if we are giving certain people responsibility to fulfill these functions, we need to also give them what? Authority. We need to give them authority. There's a black hole here that takes my Kleenexes. Every time I take one, I put it, and then I put it down, and I can't find it anywhere. The problem with the recognition that we are handing or giving or granting someone or a body authority, then it really gives us, ourselves, the authority that we pretend to be granting someone else. Isn't that true? Because it is the giver of authority that really has the authority. So, the congregation that you have called me to be your pastor, you have granted me this position, but I am only an employee of yours. You are my bosses, so you in fact have the authority. I do not. Interesting, isn't it? It's a little bit of a different twist. Think about that and the way that our minds tend to work. I'm just remembering when my parents would go away, which was not often enough, let me tell you. They were always at home with the four kids, you know, and you're always under their authority. Whether it's visual, or my mom had hearing like nobody else, but when my parents would finally go away somewhere, who would they grant the authority to? It was always my sister and myself. The two older. There were only four of us, and they divided us in two. And so the two, which were called the girls are in charge. That's what my parents would say. The girls are in charge, and the kids, that was the other group, are supposed to listen to them. It's very interesting because I have a third sister. But she was in the kids category. She wasn't counted in the girls category. The girls are in charge. But this kind of granting of authority kind of gives us the wrong perspective. And we start to take on this kind of authority mindset even when we come to scriptures. Because we are taught to be, you know, to dig in, to really understand what's going on. You don't just read it and accept it the way it's written. And everybody knows, oh, this was a different time and a different place and all of this socialization, right? And then we start to think that we sit in authority over the scripture. It happens. It's subtle. And we may not even realize it. Here in this story, we have this group of people together with Jesus. They went on the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue, and Jesus began to teach. And he taught from the scripture. And his teaching carried authority. Why did it carry authority? Because he was the author. That's why I entitled this Author Authority. Jesus could teach with authority because he was the author of this. This was his voice speaking, and that's what the scripture actually is. The scriptures are not just a bunch of stories put together or a historical document. This is what God uses to communicate with us, to reveal God's self to us. Sure, revealing God's self through stories, through history, through culture, through other people, through all of these means, but this is God revealing God's self to us. We think about it that way, we recognize, woo, yes, okay, authority. God has authority over me through the scripture. Do we really place ourselves in that way. When we come to the scripture, do we really do that? Or do we, I confess, even as I was reading this story initially this week, I'm like, I don't want to use that one. I flipped to the other passages. Why don't I use a different one? You know, we read what we like to read. We study what we like to study. If I don't feel like reading scripture today, I don't have time, I'll put it aside. Is that not right? Isn't this common? Yeah, this is us. And I'm not saying, no, I'm just saying as a reminder, recognizing, whoa, yes, we have taken the driver's seat in a lot of ways, forgetting that we truly do believe in the authority of the scripture. And the authority of the scripture, I think, it's a good thing to be reminded of, is that this was in the synagogue. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus had come from glory, and yet Jesus came to the synagogue to be together with other believers in the community. That is where the word of God is read and understood, where we as a body come to see what is this scripture, what is God saying to us. When I sit in my own closet by myself and I study scripture only by myself, very easy to develop some wackadoodle kind of understanding, and woo, there I go. And then suddenly I feel super holy because I have had, you know, inspiration that nobody else got. And the best way to test that is to come back to the community. Well, then, if we spend too long over there and we become too much of the authority, then we can't even hear the teaching and the chastisement and the redirection within the community anymore. Because then we have become the authority even in the community. Oh, you people, you're just not spiritual enough. That's why you can't understand what I am seeing in the scripture. I'm being a little bit facetious for emphasis. I don't know if that is the attitude in anybody, but it's a danger. And Jesus himself with his disciples came to read the scripture in the community, to bring ourselves under the authority of the scripture. And if I don't say anything else beyond that, or if you cease to listen, that's fine. If that's all that you get, and take home and actually say, yeah, maybe I need to be reading the scriptures a little differently in the future, then I am satisfied. But there's more. Because the authority and the authority picture here doesn't stop with the reading of the scripture. That's where it starts. And they recognize, I don't like this other part. And in fact, I kind of want to zoom over it and get to the other action part. You know, this is the introduction of the movie. And this is when you make the popcorn and get your drink and then you sit down because the action is coming a little bit later. But here, they were astounded. Verse 22, they were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority. Period. Why on earth does Mark have to put a comma there and then add, and not as the scribes? Are you confused about why that bothers me? Okay, just stroke out scribes and put their pastor. Then you'll understand. The scribes were their authority. The scribes were the ones who were meticulous about keeping and preserving the word and passing it along. And yet here the people, the simple people that weren't educated, that were just in the synagogue because that's what they were told to do, they recognized that Jesus had authority in this word and in his teaching. Not like their pastor. Now, don't send me any emails and texts of encouragement about this. Don't bother. I know. But still, it rankles a little bit It's like I hate movies about teachers, about how wonderful certain teachers are, because then I always think, oh, well, I guess I wasn't as good a teacher as that teacher in the movie, you know, because they made all these wonderful changes and so many things happened and wow. And that's what we all want to be. You know, we want lots and lots of people to be going, oh, wow, you are wonderful. And actually, exactly what happens next is one of Jesus' own temptations. Right here, what happens next is one of Jesus' temptations when he is driven into the wilderness and he is tempted by the devil. And what happens here, right after this, not like their scribes, this unclean spirit speaks out and says, I know who you are the Holy One of God. There is the exclamation, the recognition. I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. And this temptation for Jesus to actually be acknowledged by these unclean spirits, by the demons, by whomever, recognition. But Jesus does not fall for this temptation. Jesus does not. He overcomes it. He rebukes that spirit because, and this is another thing that has always, always, always bothered me as a child. Why on earth wouldn't Jesus want to be acknowledged as the Son of God? Why would he stop anyone from proclaiming him as the Son of God? Why? Did any of you wonder why? Maybe you knew, maybe you were just, you had that insight that I just never had. He has authority over the unclean spirits. That's a second authority that comes clear in this picture. Doesn't really have anything to do with us because this was a long time ago. And you know what? A lot of times these unclean spirits, it was just diseases or mental health or epilepsy or, you know, these kinds of things that we know more about these days. We're more educated. We understand. Hear the condescension in my voice? That's the lack of acknowledgement of authority. That's the lack of vision, lack of seeing Jesus' authority. First of all, in the scripture. In this story as it's given to us, because I suddenly have become the authority over this story. Wrong. We have to keep checking ourselves and recognizing God is the authority. Jesus is the author of life. For those of you who want to write down some texts, Acts 3, verse 15. The author of life. Not only the author of our scriptures, but the author of all of life. And here was someone in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. Shocking. In their synagogue with an unclean spirit. If he had an unclean spirit, he wouldn't have wanted to come to the synagogue, I'm thinking. And then why did this person want to speak out at this point in time in the synagogue? The teaching of the scripture and the authority of the scripture was what prompted the unclean spirit to rise up and resist. Jesus' teaching from the scripture awakened the unclean spirit and the resistance against the authority of the scripture. We need to be thinking to ourselves, are we actually recognizing the authority of God through scripture in our lives such that the unclean spirits rise up in resistance? Because this may not only be some diseases that we understand. Maybe there's more to it. This idea of the unclean spirit bothered me all week. not bothered me as in it kept me awake and I was oppressed, not that kind of bothering, but wondering, what is that? What's the meaning of that? And I wanted to just dismiss it. It's like, oh, I know what that is. Let's move on to something more interesting. No, the Holy Spirit kept my feet to the fire and said, I need to look into this a little bit more. This unclean spirit. The Bible talks about it a lot. And in a lot of different contexts. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. This is the unclean spirit, which does not allow for genuine worship. In the synagogue, in our lives, in our daily lives. This is where Paul is saying to the Ephesians, this is what happens when you're dead in your sin, when you're in your sins and following the course of the world. The spirit is now at work among those who are disobedient. Good grief, that's a light word. Who of us is not disobedient? I think every single one. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And that's the other connection. The unclean spirit connected, resistant against the authority of the scripture, but connected very closely to our own fleshly desires and senses. We're humans. We have fleshly desires. And this is not only sexual, but it does include sexuality. We have to pay attention because this is where the unclean spirits are most often at work and find a lot of places to play. And if you think this is just old-fashioned, this was then, like 2,000 years ago, think again. Look around us and see how much of this is not at work in our world today. Oh, it's just so prevalent, more than I've ever seen it before. I want to think, I just lost it. Novels, what kind of... I lost the word. That's just one example. But on television, the movies, the witchcraft, and laughing about it, and the games, and video games, and on the computer you can get anything, you can see anything. And all of this raises up or increases the power of unclean spirits connected to our own sensual physical desires and resistant to the authority of Scripture. Oh, if you don't read Scripture, then you don't have to really worry about the authority of Scripture in your life. But if you start reading and allowing the scripture and God's voice to speak into your life, then you will discover the things that are in the world that want to take possession of you, who want to hold you in their grip, as this unclean spirit held this man. He had an unclean spirit, yet he was in the synagogue but could not worship. He resisted. What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Who are you? Have you come to destroy us? Jesus has not come to destroy. And Jesus did not rebuke the man. He rebuked the spirit inside. He rebuked that spirit. He said, no, the testimony of who I am does not come from unclean spirits. I am looking for believers, those who want to worship in spirit and truth, those who can see who Jesus is. Throughout the book of Mark, Jesus is recognized and not recognized. Just as now, how many times don't you hear the name Jesus Christ on the lips of those who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Almost every day. almost every day, people cannot see who Jesus is, do not see the authority of Jesus in their life. And I'm not suggesting, I don't know. I'm not teaching a course on demonology, but I wonder if these unclean spirits, which I believe absolutely are still active in our world today, they did not disappear, because you know our fight is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6, verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Let's not forget that. It's not flesh and blood, it's against principalities and powers. Colossians 2, verse 15, Jesus disarmed the rulers of this age. John 12, verse 31 reminds us of the prince of this world. Satan and the angels that followed him have been cast out of heaven, but they are active. And I know, I see resistance rising up, even within myself, like a wall of resistance. Oh yeah, you see a demon behind every bush. We hear that, right? But maybe we need to be a little more alert and aware. It's the scripture that first causes the resistance of the unclean spirit. The authority of scripture. If you don't recognize the authority of scripture, well, maybe you won't recognize that unclean spirit. Maybe. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. The demons causing false worship. False worship. You have to wonder about the connection of the unclean spirit in the synagogue and ask ourselves, am I recognizing, am I seeing Jesus as the authority in my life? That's where Jesus wants to be known and recognized. He rebukes the unclean spirit, says, get out of this person. I am looking for genuine disciples and followers. Jesus as the authority. And we know this authority through the scriptures, not through our sensual desires, through the scriptures. For those of you who still want to write a few more texts, Jude 8 and 9, 2 Peter 2, verses 10 and 11, 1 Corinthians 5, 1 to 5. I'm taking time to write these things down or to mention them because I think it's really worth a little bit of studying to see how much of this is going on through these scriptures that are given for our benefit. Maybe we have become too much of the authorities. Here is our opportunity to come to the author of life, to recognize again Jesus is the authority in our lives. May God allow us to see that. Amen. Our concluding song will be 599, He Leadeth Me. We're going to sing verse 1 and 2. 1 and 2. Please rise.
Thank you.
Please bow for the benediction. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.